Universe Media Network 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 Network
Welcome to the STLREI Girls Podcast, recorded live at Webster Groves Garden Cafe at 117 East Lockwood Avenue in Webster Groves, Missouri. I'm Sandra Holtmeyer. I'm one of your hosts, and we have a special co-host with us today. We'll introduce her in just a second. Today, we're talking to Rachel Schneider of REI Blueprint. Rachel is a real estate investing coach with 30 years of REI experience and has partnered in over 300 real estate-related transactions. So we'll get to her in just a minute. But we have a co-host today. Melanie is out, so I want to introduce Sherry Zink. So Sherry, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Thank you. I was in the corporate world for probably over 25 years, and I left that a year ago in March. And in June, I've been friends with Sandra for a very long time, so she suggested I check this out. And in June, I took a class to learn about wholesaling. And since June, I started doing that and have done pretty well, I would say.
She's a rock star. She's done great.
I've awesome. Wholesaled six, just finished my first rehab. We close on Monday. Small
awesome.
One.
Awesome.
Bought my first rental. So, and I have another house that I've rented back for a month, so that's so I think in total I'm at 10 deals.
In like less than 10 months, 9-10 months?
Yeah, since June I started. So I started in June learning it, and I guess my first deal was in August. So
wow.
Yeah.
So congratulations. That's awesome.
I know, isn't that great?
That's so good.
Fun.
Yeah.
Well, the focus of our podcast is focusing on women and empowering women. And I'm glad Cheryl's here today, and you guys will get to hear more of her story in another episode. But I just want everyone to know you really can do this. I mean, she is a perfect example of you can jump in and completely transform your life, replace your current income in a matter of months.
Yes.
So
absolutely.
Take some motivation and gumption, which Cheryl has, but anybody can do this. So.
That's
thank
awesome.
You for being here with us today.
Absolutely.
Thank you both.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
So, Rachel, welcome again. Thanks for being on the show. Tell us a little bit about your personal life and what you do. And we have several questions for you, but you can start off with that.
Yeah, well, I am. I have been in real estate investing not 30 years. That's aging me a little bit. They must have messed that up. But I have been in real estate investing since 2010. Prior to that, I had a mortgage background, so I've always really kind of been in this world. Just on different sides of it. I am a mom of four. They're kind of divided. So I have two older kids that are out of the house, two younger kids that are still at home. And for me, real estate investing has been that perfect business, because if you'd ask my nine-year-old, she'd tell you that I'm a stay-at-home mom, but then I'm also a lady boss, which I think is great. But she's like, you take me to school, you pick me up, you're at every party, every field trip, and it's so cool. Like, my kids are my why. That is why I do everything that I do. And so it's awesome to have her have that mindset around it. But yet I run and operate several different businesses, but I have that freedom, you know, which I think is what we're all really kind of looking for.
Mm-hmm.
The money's nice, but the freedom is what's really amazing.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
great.
Yeah. Love it.
Thank you.
So what appealed to you most about working in the current industry?
I came from a different place than most. My business partner and I were in the mortgage industry, and we went through that huge crash when our economy really fell, and we stayed afloat for a really long time. It got down, and there were like over 3,000 mortgage brokerages in the state of Missouri when we were in that business, and by the time after the crash, there were about 300 of them. So just to kind of show you the impact that had on that industry. And so we were just losing money like crazy, to the point that we lost everything. And I got into real estate investing almost from a point of desperation, because we had to reinvent ourselves. And with that mortgage background, there was a free event being hosted in town, the only time this event's ever been free, that was on short sales. And that really kind of lined up with my underwriter background. And we went to that event, and we took that blueprint and absolutely crushed it. Our next year in real estate, we did 2011, we did 111 houses.
Wow.
So we were digging ourselves out of a huge hole though, right? Mm-hmm. You know, so I got into it for a much different reason than I think most people do. But I've stuck with it because of the freedoms that it allows, mm-hmm. for sure.
So did you have any support when you started? Was it just you or was it?
Well, I have a business partner, Jason Roberts. We've been in business together for decades. And when we first started, we started that together. And then we did have a mentor, a local mentor here, Sean, actually. And that was huge. And I think getting connected and involved in a community is what's really key, because you can be driven and you can have all the right characteristics that will lead you to success. But the thing I see, they don't know what to do next, right?
Right.
Every deal's different. Every deal's unique. You're going to learn. That's what I love about this business, is we're always learning something new. And most people aren't fortunate to have a business partner. And so you can feel kind of alone, like kind of like you're on an island. And when you get tapped into that community, it gives you somebody to be able to bounce things off of and just give you a little reassurance so you don't feel like you're in it all by yourself, I think.
Yeah, I think that's really important.
So what type of deal was your first and how did it go?
Short sale was my very first. So this is taking pre-foreclosure marketing and them being in a situation where there's, you know, at this time, so we're talking 2000, into 2010, 2011, everybody's losing their homes, our economy is not good. And so now short sales might look a little bit different, but then our market had fallen so far down and it had been really kind of overinflated for quite some time. And so these homes were no longer worth what they once were. Now they've fallen behind on their mortgage. They don't have this option to just list it on the market and sell it. They need their mortgage reduced. Someone needs to purchase it. Some of them needed repairs. So my very first deal was a monster deal, one I wish I would have held on to, right? But it was a 4-unit down in the city, and it was 5 units. 3 of the units were rented, 2 were vacant. The one of the vacant ones was the largest one, and it needed a rehab. Well, we were flat broke when we got into this. We had no resources, no money. And so the only thing that we could do was flip this. So we bought this 5-unit property for $67,000, I believe. And we had a contract before we closed on that property for right at $175,000. So it was an awesome first deal to do, right?
Like
it
really, yes. Infusion of cash.
It was really nice. It was definitely needed at the time. Yeah. And then from there, we just took that pipeline. You know, we reinvested that back into the business because we were doing all of our marketing. We were handwriting letters and envelopes and all of those. I call it the hustle period, right? Yeah. That we all need to experience when we first get started. We were doing all of those things. And so it was nice to take that money, put it back in the business and get a little help, you know?
Certainly.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow,
that's exciting.
Yeah.
No, I'm just trying to absorb what she just said. That's a big number.
Yeah, that way it was a good deal. It was a really, and I think now, man, if we would have held that, that would have been a nice property also.
Yeah.
So that's really my only regret with that, with any of the deals we've done, that would have been a nice one to hold on to.
But sometimes you just need that cash flow.
You needed it. Yeah.
So I've done it. I mean, we think we all have or will. So
yes.
Make those decisions.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I was going to ask you what your first big success was right after starting, but it sounds like you just...
That first one was a good one, yeah.
Yeah.
It was a real good one.
Yeah.
So what is your favorite type of investment deal?
You know, today I like to be this financial investor into the deal and not be as involved, because I have a coaching and education business that's around real estate, which is really my primary focus, because I felt like there was such a need for that. So that's what I currently like. But short sales really carry a special place for me. It's how I got started. It has such a bad reputation, but I like to help. I like to serve. You know, I think you get into it for the money sometimes in real estate investing, but it quickly becomes about something more than that. Every single real estate transaction I've ever done, we have truly and genuinely helped those people out.
Yeah.
And I love everything about that. Yeah. And with short sales, you know, I've heard people say, well, think of the person you're dealing with. Well, the person I'm dealing with is someone who had a sick partner or sick children, or went from a 2-income household to 0 or to 1. You know, they've had some really tragic things. That's just called life. happen to them, and being able to help them, I think it just serves such a bigger purpose. Plus, I have the personality that I really like to negotiate, and so that negotiation with the bank, I really enjoyed that side of it also.
Yeah,
so that would absolutely be my favorite.
That's cool.
I think you already mentioned part of this, but I think it's really relevant. And one thing I always try to do is tie what we're doing now to what we've done in the past to let people know we've all got a skill set that we can bring to real estate investing or any new business you start, and you may not realize it at the time. So what was your previous experience that was the best asset to your new business? I think you mentioned a little bit of it.
Yeah.
But can you expand on that a little?
Yeah. I mean, I think that I came from a mortgage world, and so I didn't come in not understanding what a settlement statement was. I knew how to read a title report and if there was something wrong with it. The only real job I've ever had was a bill collector for like a year. And so I also knew how to negotiate things on and off judgment. You know, partial releases. I understood that side of the business really well, and working with real estate agents and what that would be like. So I kind of, that was a huge benefit, especially in the short sale industry, because you are working with banks, and I had done that as an underwriter. You are working on any deal with title companies, appraisers, real estate agents. And so I had that under my belt, although investing really is a different side. I did have that knowledge that I never lost. And so that's been an asset in every deal I've ever done, because I still think I look at things from the bank's point of view or from that due diligence side of things, which has really been an asset.
Yeah, I didn't have that experience at all, but I did have a coach that helped me. So like you said, you got to get connected, because we all come with different things. So you've got to, there's other things you didn't have. So
absolutely.
That's good.
So I know you've shared some really cool successes, but do you have a favorite experience in the industry?
Oh, man, a favorite experience. You know, I think one of my favorite experiences is one that happened probably about a year or so ago on a multi-unit that we partnered in the Kansas City area, 22-unit building, and it was actually coaching students of mine, which first deal I ever did with a coaching student. I've been coaching for such a long time, but this just was such a unique property. And they're, you know, we're big on vision, personal and business visions, and really making sure that the business serves your personal life, right? Because we can all have a business that we're successful in and work 12 hours a day, right? You're not mastering anything in that situation, but really creating something that serves something bigger than that and serves your lifestyle, right? And so part of their vision, we do this now exercise with our kids too, and their daughter had a vision that she wanted to have a place for people that were homeless or transitioning back into like the workforce or from jail or just from unfortunate circumstances, and getting kind of rehabilitated and back out into our society. And so we found this 22-unit building, and then we were able to work with a non-for-profit in the area that does just that.
Wow.
And so we secured that. And so it was so cool to see like what a lesson for their daughter to see that the power of knowing what you want, writing it down, and she couldn't go out and secure financing or the deal, right? But we were able to do that for her and be a part of making it. I think that that's a life lesson for her that will serve her for the rest of her life, right? That if you work hard enough and you're determined and you stay consistent, all of your dreams are possible, you know? And that's one thing that I personally try to live by. Like, at my boot camps, you will see my kids, because I want them to see me at the front of a room being a female, being a minority, in a kind of male-dominated, you know, speaking arena. And there's almost 200 people here, right? You know, and them seeing, like, you know, we say you can be whatever you want to be. I want to really show you how you can be whatever you want to be. So that deal, sorry, I got sidetracked there. But that deal,
I like it. That's
doing that for their daughter, that's the coolest real estate transaction I've ever been a part of, ever.
That is great.
Yes.
I love
so
that.
So cool. And we did, cool thing about that, just side note, but we did a master lease on it. So we have one tenant. The non-for-profit has 22, right? Wow. And so it's a really good deal.
Things.
Yeah.
Right.
From the business side, it's like the ideal way to kind of own a property like that, because you don't really worry about vacancies. And they did a master lease for 5 years. So we really locked that whole deal up on so many sides. It was a really cool deal to do.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
I love creative deals.
I do too.
They're all a little different, but
yes, they are. Yep.
Okay, and now a quick word about our sponsor, Longhorn Investments. Longhorn Investments LLC is a direct private lender offering short-term acquisition and renovation capital to real estate investors for both residential and commercial assets. Highlights of Longhorn's loan program include up to 75% of ARV, financing up to 100% of cost, closing in 3 to 5 days, no income requirements, streamlined, simple approval process, and no prepayment penalty. Formed in 2008, Longhorn Investments funded over 4,000 loans since its inception. Longhorn's complementary business includes a title company and real estate law practice operating out of their corporate office. Longhorn's wealth of experience puts them in a unique position of being able to help investors through all aspects of each transaction. To get started with Longhorn Investments now, call and speak to the super nice guy, Lawrence Hopkins, at 314-749-7616. That's 314-749-7616, or visit Longhorn Investments at longhorninvestments.com. Longhorn Investments, hard money lending simplified. And we're back. Was there ever a time, Rachel, when you thought about quitting the real estate industry?
Never a time that I've thought about quitting. I have to be knocked down pretty hard to even have that kind. And even then, I'm like, no, we just need to figure out a different way. Like, I think that's just kind of my fighter personality in that. So I've never thought about quitting. But I've definitely, and I think this is what people don't share enough, we've definitely had some down times, for sure. I think down times from needing to change things up, you know, we're not in control of the market, and you have to be able to adapt to the market that you're in. And we might be looking at a change, but I came from a very down market and then saw it get really good. And I couldn't do the same things that I used to do before. When I got into the business, the five counties, I may have been in seven counties at that point. I had 150 pieces of new data every single day for the strategy that I was doing, which was pre-foreclosure, right? So that's a huge amount of data. If you're consistent, it's kind of hard to not be successful, right? When you've got that type of data at your hands. And as the market and the economy started to get better, those foreclosure filings decreased quite a bit. So I had to change things up. You know, I had to start my first year, I didn't rehab a house. I didn't know what I was doing for a rehab. And so I did what I knew, which was how to get in and out of a property very quickly. And that's all that I did. But I had to start incorporating, you know, probates into there. And I did some HUD bids that there's not a huge inventory right now, but there were some sitting there. So I've definitely had to reinvent myself many different times, I feel like, in this business to be able to adapt to where we were to make sure that the business was still being able to serve the life that we were trying to create. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that's important to share, because I think you've got to have that fluidity and being flexible to stick with it, because I think the people that success in anything are the ones that stick with it and figure it out.
Absolutely. And my biggest lessons have come from places where most people probably would have quit. You know, it would have been really easy when we had to leave the mortgage business to just go get a job somewhere. Right. It really never crossed my mind, because I don't think that's in my makeup to just, you know, I had experienced that, and really I wasn't free in that job. I would have told you I was, but I wasn't. I worked 15 hours a day probably most of the time. This was pre-kid, so I made it okay to do it, right? But it still wasn't okay. But I think you're right that you really do have to, I try until, period. If you give yourself that way out, this is not an easy business, but it is worth it. And you're going to get those deals that smack you in the face. You're going to be in those situations where you kind of have these ebbs and flows and you're like, I don't have any deals right now. And you're going to panic and think you should run back to corporate America. Those are the times that you need to stick through, because those failures, as some would say, and I use that term loosely, it's such great feedback, right? Because it's something you need to change. It's something that is probably a hole in your business that needs to be tweak to ensure that you don't ever feel that pain again, and that doesn't ever happen to you again.
Right.
Yeah, those are tough lessons. But
yes, they are.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, when when I learned, you know, I think what was shared was like the roller coaster, you know,
you
go through the roller coaster and, you know, it was the picture of the roller coaster. You could go through this over the course of a week. You could go through it multiple times in a day.
Absolutely.
And as soon as I experienced it, I knew exactly
what
it
you're meant. Like, we're on this ride. Okay. Right. That's all we're doing. Yeah.
That's right.
Oh,
that's
gosh.
Right. So in the business, then what would you say with that information you just shared, what was the biggest hurdle that you've had to overcome, and what did you learn from that?
I think the biggest hurdle is making the same mistake that we'd made in our mortgage business. So we also, that was kind of an edge. We knew business in a sense. Like, we had grown a very large mortgage company and created a lot of success with that. So we also knew that we had it in us to make this big business. But when we transitioned out of that business into the short sale business, we blew it up into something huge, right? 111 deals, like, that is insane. And at first we did it just all on our backs, but then, like I talked about, we reinvested and we built this team, and then we had all these employees. I mean, our old office we sat in was four suites of just a U shape of nothing but offices. And so we had our people who went out and did the appointments, we had processors, we had negotiators, and it was this big business all over again. That really, again, wasn't giving us the freedom. It really wasn't serving us. We were in the grind all over again where we had been in the mortgage business. And my partner and I sat down and thought, man, this needs to change. And our mentor at the time said, you know, you guys really need to get this life vision together. We had this business vision thing down, right? But we didn't have the life side. And once we got introduced to that and really started looking at it, that was a big change. And we thought, I'm sorry, I forgot your original question, but that was a situation where we took that business back down again, and we simplified, and we got rid of pretty much everybody. We helped them all find other jobs and do all of that, and we brought it back down to basics again, so that way it could be something that was really serving our lives instead of creating this thing that we are then a slave to. And we've stayed with that. So our business that we have today, multiple businesses, but we run all of those businesses. My right hand is Jana. She now has a right hand, Sarah. We've got Jessica in there, but there's five of us. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not, before we would have 15 of us to run the type of business that we're having. And I think we overcomplicate things in business a lot of the times. And the best way is to keep it simple and easy.
Yeah.
And so that was a huge lesson.
That's cool.
Great. Okay. Switching gears a little bit. I always like a little bit of dirt.
Yeah.
What was your worst client related experience and how did you resolve it?
Worst client related. Man, I've had a lot of those. I think one. I think one that created this kind of phrase that I live by, which is difficult in the beginning, difficult in the end. And so, if I sense you're difficult in the beginning, we are done. There's not a check that's worth that for me. But I had a particular short sale that they had four mortgages on, which blows my mind that anybody ever had four mortgages on their property. Right? Like, that seems like, absolutely. Absolutely insane. One, you know, they had done a jumbo loan, so that was the normal 80%, 20%. So they started out with two. They had taken out a home, a third, which was like a home equity line, and then another home equity line, which was like to create a business and stuff like that. And so here we've negotiated all of these liens, and we're a default state, judgment default state, so you could be on the hook for some of this that we're able to negotiate away. And we get 3 days before closing, and the first is there's no default, second no default, third no default, but the fourth, because it was used to start up a business, they were going to reserve the right to pursue them. It didn't mean that they would, but they were going to reserve the right to pursue them for a default, and they wanted to call the whole deal done for that one little thing.
The client did,
yes. And I'm thinking, and they were really difficult the whole time.
Yeah.
I had always used, you know, when you have a short sale business, you need to build a team. You need to have your agent who understands how they work. We had to use their specific agent because it was a family member. We couldn't use my normal title company that we closed at. We had to use theirs because it was a family. You know, it was all these right. different and talking them off the ledge every time because this isn't a 30-day transaction. You know, this is 6 months, 8 months. I've worked them for 18 months before, you know, and I think that theirs was right around a 9 month deal. So 9 months of, I felt like every month or every other week at times we were on the roller coaster of, yeah. I don't think I want to do this. I don't think. And then here we get, finally, we've overcome all those. We get right to the end. And it was the smallest. It was probably a $30,000 I reserve the right mm-hmm. to pursue you, but we've gotten these massive ones right. all removed from you, and we're contemplating not closing. And so I had to eventually just lay it out on the table like that and say, this isn't what you want to do, because you're going to go to foreclosure on all of these, and you will absolutely have a default judgment on all of them if you go to foreclosure, right? So that I think was my worst. That one that tried my patience in many different areas for 9 months.
Last that long?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my.
Yes.
Wow. Well, that was some dirt. Thank you.
That was. Yeah. Certainly that's my
everybody's
31.
Everybody's got a story. You know, I love hearing all other people's stories. Not that I enjoy when other people suffer, but I think we need to share because we're all. We're going to learn from it. And yeah. No, I think you're right. I've learned that with tenants. If they're difficult in the beginning, they're going to be difficult in the end.
Absolutely.
So if I don't have a good gut feeling in the beginning, you are not going to be my tenant.
Yeah, there's another one out there, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
So that is so true.
Even with buyers, I got real specific on the people. Everything I was selling was at a decent discount. You know, you were walking into this property with equity, and if they were difficult with their inspection checklist or anything like that, we're going to find a different buyer. Like, right. There are more buyers out there.
Deal, right?
There are, yes.
Yeah, certainly. You've talked a little bit about your family, and you've mentioned your partner. So how would you say that your partner and family, or both of them, feel about you as an entrepreneur?
Today, I'll tell you, so my family, my kids think it's super cool, right? Like, they, even the older ones, like, they just think that it's... they're all like, well, I'm going to own my own business. And I'm like, okay, well, that's cool. What business are you going to own? You know, so we really, I think, diving into that, there's more to just owning your own business than that. And my husband has his own. He's an electrical contractor. So he was in the union, and then he transitioned, you know, as we started living more of a lifestyle and going on trips and things like that, that doesn't really work out with that type of a job. And so he said, well, I'm just going to go out on my own. So he does his own thing now too. So our kids really see both of us doing that. My son's over in the military. So I think he might be the one when he gets back and is out of the Navy that he might do something with that. The little ones, they're 9 and 2.5. And so I'll tell you, they're both girls. They have the personalities that they could do just about anything they wanted to. They are very strong and opinionated. But I think that they're too young to really kind of grasp it. But I think I see it in Kira and my 9-year-old. She doesn't know a stranger. And so just the things that she says, I think, man, we're really shaping her normal. You know, her normal is that we all wake up as a family, we do breakfast, we get ready, she goes off to school, we pick her up. Everybody's home, whether I pick her up or my husband, everyone's home by the time she gets home. And that's not normal. You know, that's right. not really what it is. And I'm like, she's going to think it's insane to have to be at work at right. a certain time.
Don't come to my house.
Yeah. And get off at 5 or 6 or something yeah, and right. not pick your kids up and not yeah. do these things. But also, like, we have so many adventures. I travel a lot with my education and coaching business, and they come also. So she's been to she's been to a ton of states multiple times. My youngest has been flying since she was 6 weeks old. And so I think they're also going to be those people that they don't sit still. They're not scared to go catch a flight or yeah. to go on an adventure. Like, yeah. you know, probably once a quarter, they're going someplace they've never been or experiencing something new. And I never did that yeah. as a kid or even as a young adult. I was always busy working, and you can work all you want, but those moments I think that you have are so important. So I love seeing, I love the impact that I think that that's playing on them. And then I think from my partner's side of it, we had a lot of rough times. You know, we've really done that roller coaster of getting along, not getting along. We are family. You know, we've known each other since I was probably 14 years old. So, you know, close to 30 years we've known each other. And so we really are family. My kids refer to him as Uncle Jason, you know, that we really are. But we have opposite strengths. And so that complements us really well. And so I think he would say she is the ideal entrepreneur because she is a visionary, but she also has that side that a lot of entrepreneurs lack on, which is that implementation and that ability to be able to see this idea is really great, but how do we break that all down and create the systems and processes and workflow to turn it into reality? I think that's what he would say. Yeah.
That's cool.
So you talked about your big deal early on, but if you would, talk about a small deal, too, because I think we're all going to have those ups and downs, and they're okay. So what's like a small deal for you?
I've done a ton of small deals. In every marketing strategy that I've done a lot of small deals. Now, I don't know a good portion of them. With all of them, with the exception of pre-foreclosure and short sale, I never set out for them to probably be that small. But in that short sale world, my number one priority was to be able to help that homeowner, right? And so there's times that I've exhausted all efforts and I cannot get the bank to give me a price that as an investor I can purchase. And so I'm still going to help that homeowner. So we would list that property out on the MLS to the open market. Traditional buyer comes in and we would take what would maybe be a real estate fee, if not even less than that, because sometimes, you know, the real estate agent needed to be paid as well, and we may have made $1,500 on that deal. But it was worth it.
Yeah.
Because they, you know, we were still able to accomplish for them what we set out to do. And when you build a pipeline of those deals, you've got those monster ones, those middle of the roads, and these small ones. And at the end of the day, they all average out to be okay, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then I think from other deals have been probably one that got squeezed to be one of my skinniest was a structural issue property on a rehab. And man, that can really go a lot of ways. I had great bids on it, multiple bids on it, went with who I felt was the most educated, and he may have been the most educated, but he did not have a good work ethic. He then took this project, and what should have been a 2-month turned into 9 months, and then it was finding someone else to come in and fix what they didn't do and still be able to get a structural engineer to sign off on it being structurally sound. And that took me down to probably for a rehab deal that probably took me down. I think it was about $5,700, which is small on a rehab. The risk that you have in rehabbing something, holding a property for that long, my minimum for a rehab rule was $30,000, right? So you can see how much of that sucked away from going over budget and just, you know, having every problem in the world happen. And that's why I think it's important to get in and out of a deal. What's the best way for you? You know, so many people think, well, the deal dictates your exit strategy. And my first year in business, I wholesaled and hotailed, meaning I listed that thing on the market and sold it to a traditional buyer because I didn't know how to rehab, you know. And if you don't have, and I didn't have money either, you know. So if you don't have those things, I think you get in and out of the deal what's best for you.
Yeah.
And eventually you can move into those things. So it's so great about real estate investing. Where you start is not where you have to stay.
Yeah.
So
right. I guess one of the last questions here. What advice would you give to someone just starting out? Myself, I've just been in the business for, you know, since June. And some people are just entering. So what for somebody new, brand new, and even 6 or 9 months in, what advice would you give?
I would give you multiple things, but just off the top of my head, I would say be dedicated, right? Like you can be interested all that you want. You have to commit to it. And when you commit to something, you try until. There's no other, you don't give yourself a way out. I would say create a real estate investing schedule. What hours, what times of what day will you be dedicating to this business? Because if you're transitioning from corporate America into this, life, kids, all of those things, it makes it very easy for the very first thing that you do is not what you need to be doing in this business. But this business is what's going to turn your life around, right? It's going to create major change that you can be sitting at this coffee house at 11:30 in the afternoon, you know? And so those would be the things that I would say, and consistency. You know, your first batch of marketing, like I have people say, well, I skip traced the phone numbers and none of them were good. Talk to me when you've skip traced 10,000 numbers, right? Like you continue. Yeah. No one got there in a snap of the fingers. We right. see that when we hear them talk, but there's been a lot of hard work put in. Put your head down and hustle and be dedicated. It is a short-term sacrifice for a long-term goal.
Yeah. Great advice.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, Rachel, how can our listeners contact you?
REI Blueprint, that is my education and coaching business. And so we have a Facebook page, we're reiblueprint.com. If we can help you with something, we're help@reiblueprint.com. Facebook is really where we're trying to push out as much education. We've got upcoming events coming up. So if you're interested in checking any of that out, our Facebook page is the best place.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Yeah.
And before we go, we have one final question for you. What is the one thing you love the most about doing business in St. Louis?
Oh, the one thing I like the most about St. Louis, I think it's the community. I know so many other real estate investors in the St. Louis area, and so I love seeing how we can all be here, but all experience success. You know, that's what's so great about real estate investing is, you know, my closest circle are people who are investors all over the country. But even just here in St. Louis, we all do very different things, but are experiencing success. And I always hear people say, oh, there's so much competition. There's competition everywhere. That's what this world's made up of, right? But I know so many people here locally that are doing such a good thing in all of these different communities, whether it's downtown or out in the suburbs. They're really making a difference on these neighborhoods. Like, that's what we as investors do, but also helping so many people that are in situations where we are their best option, right? And so I love, that's what I love about St. Louis, is that I've never met someone for here that, you know, keeps me at arm's length because they're worried I'm going to take an idea of theirs. Like, I think a lot of us come from a very abundant mentality of, I'm not worried that you're ever going to take anything. There's more than enough out here for all of us to thrive.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for being here today, Rachel. We appreciate it. And everyone, we hope you enjoyed today's show.
So do us a favor and contact our sponsor, Lawrence Hopkins of Longhorn Investments, at 314-749-7616 or visit longhorninvestments.com.
Okay. And to contact me, Sandra Holtmeyer, for wholesaling or rehabbing, I'm looking for my next rehab, especially if you have anything in St. Charles County, you can reach me at 636-856-3358, or I'm on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Sandra Sells STL.
And I am Sherry Zink, and also if you have anything out there for wholesaling, rentals, or rehab possibilities, then you can contact me at 636-459-9155.
Today's show was engineered, mixed, and produced by the wonderful Antonio Holman, publisher of St. Louis Real Estate Investor Magazine.
And our theme song is Escape by Diviners, featuring Rossi.
If you'd like to find more great content like this, visit stlreimag.com. That's stlreimag.com.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks, guys.